The class is meant to focus on the Dhammadrastakam for this period, I was informed. Is that correct? Yes. And the verse of today is the seventh verse of Dhammadrastakam. And I don't have a copy of that verse in front of me, so it doesn't matter. I think we'll all manage it together. Yeah? Kuverat majo badha murtyai vayadvat tvaya mochito bhakti bajo kritau cha tata prema bhaktim svakam me prayacha namokshi graho mesti damodareha. Okay, you may have to remind me a bit of that. So, in relation to that text from the Astakam, we begin with this text from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think we always like to ground ourselves in Srimad Bhagavatam. And even if we wander away from the Bhagavatam for 8 days of the Dhammadrastakam verses, still we feel more comfortable if in the Bhagavatam class there's still a Bhagavatam verse. Yes, I think so. I think that's the reasoning for all of this. So, now we're in our comfort zone with the Bhagavatam verse, and then we'll proceed with the Dhammadrastakam. This is a verse very much related to the text, and it's from the deliverance of the Yamala Arjun trees. So it is the Leela, it's the pastime, which is narrated very substantially in the Dhammadrastakam prayers to make very important theological points to us. She made them very clear to us. And considering that for the entire month, the prayer is put to the forefront of all other prayers, is that the Kartik Mass, offer lamp, worship Tulsi, and sing the Dhammadrastakam prayers every day, is the Kartik Mass Vrata, as Sanatana Goswami related that in, I think, the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Because people say, what are you going to do for Kartik Prabhu? Well, I'm going to have khichdi every day. Or I'm going to do some other self-punishment to purify myself of all my pap from many lifetimes. But the Dhammadrastakam, lighting a lamp in the Tulsi, are, I guess we just do those things anyway, so we don't really think of them necessarily as part of our vrata. Well, maybe we do. Maybe I'm being too presumptuous in that. So, the prayers are chanted every day to consolidate a specific meditation and to teach us specific things about devotional theology, which are of very substantial importance to us. Nalakuvra and Manigriva actually had nothing to do with devotional service or seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. For this is not an ordinary opportunity. It is not that because one is very rich or learned or was born in an aristocratic family, one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is impossible. But in this case, because Narad Muni desired that Nalakuvra and Manigriva see Vasudev face to face, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to fulfill the words of his very dear devotee, Narad Muni. If one seeks the favor of a devotee, instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore recommended, Vaishnav Thakur Tomar Kukur Bulya Janaha More Krishna Setumar Krishna Diti Pada. One should desire to become like a dog in strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. Thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna. What to speak of engaging in his service? Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payeche Keba. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material condition of life. In our Gaudiya Vaishnav society, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, our first business is to seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Adho Guru Vashraya. I'll just repeat the verse again. Devashir me prayatamo yadimo dhanadat majo tat tata sadayasyami yad gitam tam mahatmana. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvara, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narad is my very dear and affectionate devotee. And therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. So this is the deliverance of these two, Nalukuvra and Manigriva. And in the verse, and I'll just go on to that Damodaraskam verse to cement that in our minds before continuing. In the verse, specific reference is given to them because the Damodara Lila is spoken about. But within the verse itself, some very important points are made. And also, it's remarkable how related to the conclusion of the Damodara Lila in terms of the Siddhanta or the esoteric truths that are presented through Yasoda's binding up of Lord Krishna is further substantiated by the deliverance of the Yamala Arjun threes, who were none other than Nalukuvra and Manigriva. They're very great personalities, materially, but ended up in a very difficult situation for a very long time. So the Damodaraskam verse, the Kuveratmajo Bhada Murtyaiva Yadvat. The two sons of Kuveratmajo. Atmajo means from Kuver. Atmajo Bhada Murtyaiva Yadvat. And it's really in Bhada Murti. They were delivered by Bhada Murti, which is very interesting, by the bound Murti, the form of Krishna who is all bound up. Usually if a person's all bound up, there's not much they can do to assist anybody else in any situation. It's not possible if they're all tied up, especially if they're a little child and they're all tied up to a very heavy grinding stone. But in this case, the point is made that these very wealthy sons of Kuvera, who had been in the circumstance of taking birth as trees, they were delivered by Bhadamurti, a bound-up form of Krishna. Kuveratmajo, but Bhadamurtyaiva yadvat, tvaya mochito bhakti bhajo keto cha. And they were given a moksha from their situation. They were liberated from their existence as trees. But it never ended there for them. A lot of people pray for moksha, mukti, isn't it? But for devotees whose aspiration is to, for nothing, really. They just want to love someone very special. Very, very special. They just want to love Krishna, such devotees. So, the liberation is of no interest. Rupa Goswami describes bhukti mukti spriha javat pisache ridavartate tavad bhakti sukasyatra katam abhyudayobhavat. If a devotee holds the aspirations for bhakti and mukti. Now, bhakti and mukti were generally the big things in ancient India. In very ancient India, it was bhakti. Then mukti became all important. Isn't it? The Vedas, they were all praying for more and more and more of everything. Cows, sons, wealth, and long life. The Upanishads were very substantial in focusing on things beyond life, because the things, even if you have them, you don't have them, it's a suffering situation. So moksha became the talk of the town, or perhaps the talk in the forest. Everybody wanted to be liberated from material life. Everybody, a lot of people. And many people do. Some people would rather to have not existed at all. And sometimes in our own lives, I think, to be honest, we have felt such things. Otherwise, you know, it was a great Shakespeare when he wrote To Be or Not to Be. I mean, that was the question of the big philosophers. Would it have been better to not have existed at all? Because existing constitutes a problem for us. Because we want to know everything. We want to be everything. Or we want to be not, and finally, we want to be nothing. And it just doesn't go away like no other species. We just are very restless to know who we are. So the liberation from material life, I mean, liberation has no substance, no meaning, no relevance whatsoever if life is not a miserable existence. You know, who would want liberation if life was everything that it was made out to be in on TV? Well, probably not TV, that's quite mixed, but, you know, in the way that people would want us to think about it. What relevance or significance would liberation have? Liberation wouldn't be something coveted. Liberation is something coveted when you want out of your situation. You want to be free from it. So, generally, people either they wanted everything in life, and therefore they were dharmic. They were religious. They went religiously about getting the things in life. Or else they were religious about getting free from life. So, isn't it? Krishna states that in the Gita, third chapter. Lokesmin dvivida anishta. There's two faiths in this world. Dvivida anishta. The karmis and the jnanis. The karmis, they want all the things, and the jnanis, they want to be free of all the things. So, dvinishta. That was the culture. And so, of course, Krishna reconciles the whole thing in the Gita. These polarities are imploded, in a sense. But for devotees who aspire for nothing more than loving Krishna, and that is sadhya bhav, it's the ultimate purpose of all of our practice, that we will arouse and we will live in love of God. I mean, really love, not just words saying about it, but as one verse says in a prayer, just as a young lad may be spontaneously attracted to a young girl, or a young lady may be just spontaneously attracted to a young man, then please allow my heart in the same way to be attracted to you. You know, that's the prayer. Not to do so many of this or so many of that or so far out on here. Or that, you know what I mean by that. The point is that, you know, when will my heart be imbued with love of you? Full stop. Sadhana bhakti in its entirety adds up to this point. Bhava. If bhava isn't the objective of the sadhaka, the practitioner, then, you know, the path can be very, it could take forever, perhaps. So, bhukti, mukti, spriha, javat. Bhukti desiring things from a lover for self-fulfillment, I mean, that's not really love, is it? And also wanting to be liberated from everything, including them, is not really love either. You know, I love you because. It's just against love. So, for those whose interest is love, bhukti, mukti, spriha, javat, pisachi, hridi, vartati. Understand, Rupa Goswami says, this is a witch. These are pisachi, blood-sucking demonesses, or demons, whatever, in contemporary language. Just, whichever way, isn't it? The point is that bhukti and mukti is blood-sucking. What would that? Entity. So try to be generic as possible. And, point is, it devours you. And, tavat bhakti sukhasya tra, the joy of loving the beloved, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to be undermined by the things that you're putting as priority. By what's being posed as priorities is undermining the love. So therefore, it is not a devote and someone who aspire, I mean, people aspire for these things. Okay, good, go for it. But those who become obsessed with this, I just want to love Krishna, that's all really, then it's very, very important to be wary of these things within ourselves and understand that they are against love. So therefore, the kuverat majo bada murtyaiva yadvat tvaya mochito. Yes, they were liberated from their existence. That's, we'll have that. You know, liberate me from all of my madness. That would be a blessing. Liberate me from the obstacles that come between you and I. That would be a blessing. Liberate me from circumstances which are pretty cool or in, which are unfavorable to my, the calling of my heart. So, mochito, yeah, liberation in that sense is acceptable to a devotee. Tvaya mochito bhakti bhajo kito cha. And you, they were just, they, as in the purport here, Prabhupada is saying, they had nothing to do with devotional service. What? They were just enjoying themselves. They were drunk. They were drunk, and they were with some young ladies in a beautiful garden. And they were just going at it. And they were just in a very decadent way. You know, as people, I mean, we, dearest Titranamuyati, we always say a sober person. You know, when we're intoxicated with something, you know, it's, we kind of, we become compromised in so many ways, isn't it? I mean, I'm not just talking about intoxicants, but intoxicated with anything. Even if it's anger, whether it's envy, greed, or upset, whatever, we, you know, it's, that's also not a good heart. Shokamarshadi bir bhaver akrantam jasya manasa. This verse is given in the purport to the Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam verse. Because, you know, all this containing the self is promoted in the beginning, isn't it? Right in the very essence of instructions. Being modest is promoted substantially. So, the verse that's quoted in the purport to substantiate why we should be modest people is this Sokamarsati Birvavaya, Akantam Jashamanasa, which means that because if we allow our hearts and our consciousness to be all filled up with emotional content with regards to life and life scenarios, shokam, arshadibi, you know, lamentation and all the rest, anger and heavy emotions, then we're in an intoxicated state of mind. And when we're intoxicated like that, we'll be compromised in what we're trying to achieve. We're not so focused, clear in our consciousness. So they were drunk, they were intoxicated, and they were enjoying, as you know. And when Narad Rishi came by, and he's a sadhu. Now, nakedness is something which in Vedic, Puranic, all the scholars of these things over centuries have never appreciated nakedness. I mean, openly in public and all these things. Some spiritual people, the Jain sadhus, they go completely naked everywhere. But they get a heck of a rollicking in the Puranas. I mean, there's quite a few references to the nakedness and stuff like that. And purification required after seeing such a sight. They took exception to that. I'm sure they had their reasons substantially. But in this case, Narad Rishi is walking by. Not only were they naked, but they were engaged in a very intimate activity, isn't it? You know, it's always embarrassing. You know, if you're sitting on the tube or you're somewhere or whatever and people get a bit intimate and you're like this. Oh, that was the joke now. They say, get a room. Something like, you know, kids, the joke like that. If you just say something slightly, oh, get a room. But it's just, come on. We're all not part of this, okay? We're just like that, I guess. Maybe it's our Christian upbringing. So Narad took exception. But when a sadhu takes exception, you know, he's not a harmful living entity. He's someone who loves everyone. Jagat prininadi dvaya pradatvam. Sadhu loves people. Genuinely. And people tend to love sadhus because they're not after their money, hopefully. They're not after. They don't want to harm them. They want to love them. To not love such a person, I think you'd have to have some intense form of neurosis. But so he gave them a curse and a blessing that they would, okay, because you're, you know, so many points are made there about wealth and the intoxicated moha, the bewilderment that comes from wealth. It says, even, and Prabhupada mentions here as well, even though they are very aristocratic, they are born of very aristocratic families, and also highly educated. He says, but nothing is quite as bewildering as having a lot of wealth, a lot of money. You know, the thing, you know, everyone's looking for that. Everybody's, the lottery is like Europe lottery. Even when it says, like, the prize is 50 million, we're all like, that's, should I, shouldn't I? Maybe Krishna wants me to have it. So, it's a bewildering scenario. So, in the commentaries, it makes this point that they were so bewildered by their wealth, they thought nothing could touch them. And in that scenario, then, something did. And because they were just there being decadent in their nakedness. Okay, so then he had to take birth as trees. And it's one thing being a tree and believing you're a tree, but when you're a god and you know you're a tree, that must be very difficult. And these trees live for a very, very long time. These weren't just 100-year trees. Some huge dates given for that. So anyway, they ended up in such a situation. But he gave them this blessing that You will get the darshan of Krishna. You will get the darshan of Krishna. And that's the point that's being made here. Buddha Murti. Because the Buddha Murti is Damodar. And the beauty of this Damodar Leela, the beauty of it and the meditation on it, is, as it's in the Leela, Krishna is just, he gets up late that day as a baby. His mother goes off to churn butter, and he comes late and very, as a child wakes up, they're not grumpy, that's old people who are grumpy, but they're irritable. He wakes up, he's an irritable child. And then he comes pulling on his mother, and he just stops her from churning the yogurt. And she just catches him quickly, like you would do with your child, and just takes him on her lap and starts to feed him. Her milk was just flowing like a river. And so he was enjoying like anything. And then as he, as she worried about other milk, which was boiling, she just, like a mother would do, she just dumped him down and shot off. And it's said that this is, some people might think, well, that's not very devotional. If Krishna, this is the nature of this people in Braja. So she just put and went, and then he thought, I know, he took a small stone and he went and he broke a mudka, and the ghee and butter, whatever, started to come. And then he knew he was in trouble then, as children do. And sometimes, isn't it, the naughtiness? The naughtiness is about attention also. Help the kid to be successful in life, otherwise they're going to be a vandal. If you just like that, isn't it? So he broke the pot, the butter, and then he got a bit worried about that. Now she's going to come, and he ran out with it, and he sat up on top of the mortar with his legs in the lotus position, and he's flicking all the things to the animals, and worried about the crows and the insects, and his mother's coming. And finally, she did come. She came running, she picked up a stick and came up behind him. And in seeing that, he became totally afraid. What stood before him was Vatsalya Prem. Really a mother and a mother's love. The embodiment, not just Vatsalya Prem, but the full embodiment of Vatsalya Prem stood before him. He could do nothing before it. It said that his whole vibhuti tried to stop Yasoda, his shaktis that fulfill all his desires. They tried to stop because he was thinking, I won't be able to get on with my duties today of stealing butter and playing with my friends and all the, if she ties me up here. But as Vatsalya Prem stood before him, he couldn't in any way resist. So, and as probably in all the previous classes, she bound him. She tied him, the knot of Vatsalya Prem. And he stood there crying. And she ran off to get on with everything else. Now, some conversation took place there where she accused him of being a little monkey. And he said, if you really think I'm a monkey, then I'm going to run off to the jungle and that will be it. So she tied him up there. This boy could do anything crazy. And then all the other boys came by and they saw Krishna standing in a pitiful state, sobbing. And they were like, what happened to you? And he just cried. And then Baldev came because he was away with Rohini. And he said, who's done this to my brother? I'll beat that person. And they all said, it was your mother. And he became silent also. He couldn't do much. So the endeavor of the Sakya Ras, of the Sakya Bhav, a friendship relationship, couldn't untie the knot. Vatsalya Prem tied it. Vatsalya Prem could not untie the knot. It's an inferior form of love. So then Nanda Baba came, and he then became very anxious. Now, this was after the trees had crashed, everybody was panicking, and he saw his son in such a scenario, tied up like a dog, surrounded by fallen trees, and he was shocked. How could anybody do this to a child? And he said, "Who's done this to you?" And he whispered in his father's ear, "Maya, your mother." He became very shocked. And Yasoda Mai came running. She came running, running, running. And when she saw the whole scenario, the trees were falling down, her son's there, he's tied up, and her husband's there now. I mean, how does it all look? She couldn't move, she couldn't speak, she couldn't even cry. She just stood like a statue. And then Nanda Maharaj untied the knot, because only Vatsalya Prem could also untie the knot. See, he's so bound. Like he said, "Aham bhakta paradina hyasvatantra ivadija sadubir grasta hridayam bhakter bhakta janapriya." When Durvas was trying to get free from the big Sudarshan Chakra chasing him, then Vishnu turned to Durvas and said, "What can I do? Aham bhakta paridina. I'm totally controlled by my devotees. I have no willpower independent of theirs. Hyasvatantra, asvatantra. Svatantra means independent." And sometimes in the ashram they joke, "Oh, he's svatantra." He's too independent, that one. So, hyasvatantra means I have no independence. Sadubhya grasta, they're holding me in their hearts. Sadubhya grasta hridayam bhaktir bhakta. Never mind the bhaktas. The bhaktas of the bhaktas are holding me in their hearts. I have no room to move outside of their will. This is the bhakta vasyata vishesh, the most beautiful and charming quality of Krishna. So, only Nanda could untie the knot. And so he did. And then he took the boys to bathe in Brahmandagat. And then they went to the Goshala. And then Rohini cooked. Nanda served. And the day went by like this, while Yasoda Mai was just feeling so lost, dejected, excluded, and regretting that she had tied her son up in such a way, and that everybody was all construing it. So she sobbed in her room, and finally, this is from Gopal Champu, she sobbed in her room, and then in the evening, Rohini came with the older ladies, and they came to Nanda Maharaj, and they said, "Can you please call Krishna?" So Krishna came, and then Rohini said to him, "Kanaya, your mother, Maya, is really, really upset and crying. Go to her." And he said, "No." And then she said, "Well, come to me then." And he said, "No, I won't come to you. I won't come to you because when Maya was just catching me and tying me up, I called you so many times. But you didn't come. And therefore, I'm not coming to you." And then she said, "Kanaya, you know, who's going to feed you?" He says, "Baba." "Who's going to play with you?" "Daubaya." Who are you going to sleep with?" "I'll sleep with Baba." "But you never sleep with Baba. You always sleep with Maya." "I'll sleep with Baba. I don't need to. I'm not going." Nanda Maharaj, seeing the situation, and he said, "Okay, can I? Should I beat you, Soda? And seeing that, Krishna began to crumble inside. And he caught Baba's hand, pulled it down. No. And then Rohini said, and she's so upset. What if in her upset, she just dies? And then he began to cry so much. And he ran to Rohini, and Rohini caught him. And just took him straight to Yasoda, who caught him in her lap. And then who began to wail and cry so loud that all the other ladies couldn't withhold their tears any longer. Even Nanda Baba was holding his tears in. And then Nanda says, bring Yasoda here. And Yasoda came and he said, serve prasad. This is Grihastha life in the spiritual world. Serve prasad. So she began to serve everyone prasad nicely. And then she took baby Krishna in her arms and went to her bedroom for the night. Now, this is Vatsalya Prem. Bada Murti. Krishna, as he's all bound up by the devotee's love. Therefore, and this is pointed out here, and it's a whole lengthy another topic, which I'm not going to go into, but I'm just going to state one verse and stop there, actually. Because these prayers at Damodarasthakam, you know, they teach us so clearly in their meditation that we shouldn't aspire for any type of bhakti or mukti. None of these things. We should just aspire for love. And then it shows us the beauty of Vatsalya Prem. And it speaks of how Krishna is bound up by that. Now, this Bada Murti delivered these two Nalukuvra and Manigriva. Because Narad Rishi just said, you'll see Krishna. You'll be delivered by Krishna. They had nothing going for them otherwise. But by his kripa, they got all the things. Now, this is very rare. Even to attain bhava bhakti, never mind prema, it's stated that Sri Krishna tad bhakta prasadaja or sadhana binivesaja, that bhava bhakti is attained by our continued life of sadhana bhakti as devotees. And in due course, that's considered to be the rule. The exception is Sri Krishna tad bhakta prasadaja, which means that we've done nothing. And somehow or other a blessing, a kripa of a saint falls on us, or of Krishna, and we attain all the things. But however, that doesn't mean to say in the sadhana process that that is not also a constituent part. It's the very root Adau Guru Padashaya Prabhupada presents here. Sudha Bhakata Charanarena Bhajana Anukula. What's the second line? Bhakata Seva Paramasadi Prema Latikara Mula. It's the Mula of the plant of devotion. It's the root. Krishna Bhakti Janmaya Hoya Sadhu Sangha. This isn't just any type of sadhu. I mean, if somebody, love is manifests in the heart, it's the Swarup Shakti, internal potency of Krishna. It comes in the stage of bhava. It is the stage of bhava bhakti. The sadhu sangha, Krishna bhakti janmaya, the devotion to Krishna, janma mula, the root, the birth, the beginning, is by association of devotees of Krishna. Not only that, Krishna prema janme tenho punaha mukya anga. Even when somebody's in prema, a mukya anga, a large part of their life, is in association with other lovers of Krishna. Because it's within all of that that the love and the ras is inspired and cultivated and relished. So in the start, throughout the process, and in the stage of siddha, It's always there. And this form, this Murti of Krishna, Badamurti, the bound form of Krishna, is the form worshipped by us. And, as we see in the pastime, that was shown how just by Narad's wish, his desire, Krishna got into action. And he gave them something they had no eligibility for in the slightest. And that is certainly in this text, and in these prayers, and in our own theology, is something which we have to contemplate very strongly through our life of devotion. Keeping our sadhya fixed up, this is about love, that's the beginning. Whether you're distributing books, washing floors, doing politics and meetings, whatever, it's all toward love. And the day it begins to deteriorate your little creeper, make a move. Stop mixing with who you're mixing with. Stop doing what you're doing. You know, life and our fulfillment and devotion in life is too important to just make sacrifices. In that sense, it needs to be about love, or it's not sadhana bhakti. And in pursuit of that, understand, we should understand, that Krishna is bhaktavasyata. The whole Yasoda Lila, evam sandarshita hyanga, bhaktavasyata. Krishna says, the whole Lila is displayed, or Shukadev says, the whole Lila is displayed to show unashamedly that I am bhaktavasyata, the servant of the devotee. Understanding that, associate with devotees who are progressive, that's the process. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions?